You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. The Super Bowl is set! The Patriots go for number 6. The Eagles go for number 1. What's going on, Corey Parson?
What's the deal, Greg? How's everything this morning? Pretty sad day for me, obviously. The last two teams I want to see compete for the Super Bowl is the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. So I am finished watching football for 2018.
Okay. Are you actually?
I'm done. I'm not watching the Super Bowl.
What are you going to do?
Huh?
What are you going to do?
I got to figure that part out. I got 2 weeks to figure that out.
I got the 2 weeks. Hour with the fantasy.
I got 2 weeks to figure that out. Should be a lot of basketball on that day.
Should be a lot of basketball, though.
Not going against the Super Bowl.
No. Yeah. Speaking of basketball, live FNTSY basketball show tonight on Twitch. That will be awesome, 4 to 6 p.m. on the NBA's Twitch. That'll happen tonight. Look forward to that. Matt Modica, Philly.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I'm kind of like with Corey. I am really not excited about the Super Bowl at all. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, Nick Foles had the game of his life. And, you know, the Vikings defense did not travel. Case Keenum did not get it done. That said, I'm looking to buy a half point down. I know in some places it's 5.5. Put a dime on the Pats.
Yeah.
PFB.
The spread from what I saw actually opened at 7, immediately dropped down to 5.5, as Matt said. I saw it back up to 6 at places, so it's really depending on when you're looking, very fluctuating quite a bit to start this thing off. Throughout the show today, we'll go over the Patriots and the Jaguars in a very good game. We'll go over the Eagles and the Vikings in not so much of a good game. Underrated and underappreciated coaches, Matt, as you and I were talking before the show. Mm-hmm. We'll also go over referees pounding the chest of Tom Brady, as well as on YouTube and just 20 minutes away, a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia. So a lot to go over, some baseball as well, NBA too. It'll be a fun show over the next 3 hours.
Yeah, that quarterback controversy is probably the worst tweet I've ever seen.
Oh, I cannot wait to do that on YouTube. Because people are going to look for it, man. People are going to be like,
Yeah, no, it's like clickbait. It's terrible.
Yes, that's exactly why we're doing it. 20 minutes. So that's the plan. So where did you watch everything yesterday, Corey?
Huh?
Where did you watch everything yesterday?
In the crib. Yeah,
I'm chilling. Wasn't
nothing that I was really excited about yesterday. With those teams, I wanted Jacksonville Jaguars to get a win. They fought valiantly, couldn't pull it off in the end. The referees and Tom Brady got that job done. So I think they feel pretty good about where they're at right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars. As long as they can remain injury-free, they should be able to make another deep run next year.
Absolutely. Where did you watch yesterday?
Yeah, I was home in the crib as well. Me and CP should have hung out yesterday, got enhanced, because it was really nothing exciting. I had a championship dessert, a pecan pie. I didn't even touch it. That's how.
I should have came through. I should have rolled through.
Mistake. All right. When we come back, we will start in Philadelphia. The Eagles and the Vikings, we break it down for you next on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Little Beanie Siegel for Philadelphia in the background, the Broad Street Bully.
The Eagles fans are out today.
Did they tear the city up last night?
Yeah, they tore the city up. Of course they tore the city up.
Disgusting.
Who would you be more upset about being in the Super Bowl, the Eagles or the Redskins?
Washington's never going to make a Super Bowl, so I'm not worried about that.
I'll be honest with you. 2 weeks ago, you said the same thing about Philadelphia.
They're not even going to win one. This is disgusting.
It was
you should put these people in jail.
It was unbelievable yesterday. What took place?
How about Nick Foles? Coming into the game, he had, what, one pass over 20 yards.
Nick Foles was horrific. And this is the one team, the Philadelphia Eagles, we said it weeks ago. They have once a year, the team that's the nobody believes in us, right? And it's very clear the nobody believes in us team in 2018 was Philadelphia. It was. And they came in, and they got these stupid dog hats, and they were the underdogs. Now everyone in Philadelphia has one of these stupid dog hats. And now, they're there.
He completed four passes of over 35 yards yesterday. I mean, look, I don't know. I really don't know what to say, but I just have to give it up to the Eagles. I was wrong. I thought Vikings were going to smash them. I thought it was the perfect scenario for Minnesota. The fact that, you know, they were facing the Eagles. I know the Eagles were home, and I had the Eagles beating the Falcons, but I just didn't see how Nick Foles could beat this defense, and he put on a show.
It was, as you said, a show indeed in Philadelphia last night, where ultimately, like, this game wasn't close ever. Like,
that was a damn blowout. This doesn't make no sense.
I mean, look, but early on, when I saw Kyle Rudolph catch that touchdown, I was like,
"This is exactly."
I thought they was going to roll him at that point, and I was looking forward to them getting rolled.
You know, it was.
But
it was,
this is the thing what we forgot, what we looked past. We spent so much time focusing on Nick Foles being the quarterback.
Yes, sir.
We forgot about that defense. Mm-hmm. You forgot about the home field advantage. Mm-hmm. You forgot about the running game, mm-hmm. and all of that has been top notch. For them up to this point this season, they've been the best in the NFC at all of those things. So they got it done that way. That defense is stout, not able to run the football against them. They make timely plays when it comes to turnovers. The running game got going. And Doug Peterson's a good head coach. All of that outweighed the fact that Nick Foles was the quarterback. Not to mention, it was a great coaching job by Doug Peterson and his staff, too. They were excellently coached. They did a...
But here was the thing. The interception... That throw Keenum threw for that first interception that was returned for a touchdown was horrific. And, you know, that got the Eagles right back into the game. I mean, there was a shot earlier to Torrey Smith that he didn't come up with, which would have been a big play there as well. But once they put him in, you know, that situation, they tied the game up, changed the momentum, and then that play before the half, you know, he got him from behind, the fumble, and, you know,
Let's start from the beginning here. Take our time. So Case Keenum, as he did so many times this year, drives Minnesota right down the field. They score a touchdown, as you said, Matt, to Kyle Rudolph. They're up 7-0. And Pat Shurmur has led this offense. He strips all the plays on the first drive. Successfully, they score a touchdown, 7-0. It's like, okay.
They script the whole damn game.
Giant fans got to be ecstatic. In the fact,
do they? No, they didn't score the rest of the game.
Listen to me. You look at Nick Foles' best season was under Shurmur, right?
Yes.
You look at what Case Keenum was able to do. You know, they went to Keenum here.
Yes.
And what he was able to do for the whole season. And look what Shurmur did with those two quarterbacks. So if you're going to draft a quarterback and stuff like that, if you can do this with these subpar talents, in my opinion, you know. I mean, look, they've had seasons where they shined and all that. But, you know, for the Giants, for me, it's a no-brainer. Take the quarterback. You get Shurmur. I think that was the right move all along. They kind of maybe lucked into that. So I'm excited for that. And the game plan looked good in the beginning. They got the touchdown. But the way they were driving, it looked they were using McKinnon. McKinnon was the guy. We saw that the week before with Kevin Coleman. So I was like, wow, this is looking just as I suspected.
Yeah, you had McKinnon getting open out of the backfield, a lot of digs wide open, and that first drive, I'm not sure what they went away from. It was very confusing. So defense holds, next drive, Minnesota's driving again. Keenum throws the pick six, Corey, which certainly swapped the momentum.
Yeah, momentum got going. Obviously, you got the juice started to get rolling in that stadium. You know, so at that point, kind of had a feeling that, okay, wait a minute, this is going to be a fight to the end right here. And then the Eagles just really just took off and rolled. What did they kept that momentum going? So, yeah.
Okay. So they have the pick six. The Eagles, Minnesota gets the ball back. Nothing happens. Eagles get the ball back. They drive down the field. They score the touchdown. It's now 14-7. Ultimately, they get the ball back again. They score another touchdown. It's now 21-7. For the half, Case Keenum drives Minnesota right down the field. Really, really nice drive. Connecting with Stephon Diggs on a couple of third downs. Jerick McKinnon, again, getting a couple of third downs. And ultimately, they were very, very poised to score. It's third down. Keenum steps up. Never feels the defender on his left side. Or his right side, rather. Guy just misses a block completely.
That was a terrible job.
Terrible job. He had a man open. I think it was Kyle Rudolph down the field that he was looking to. He tried to unleash it. Gets hit from behind. Fumbles it with about a minute to go in the half. And here's where I need to give credit once again to Doug Peterson, because so many teams, and I feel like Minnesota may be one of them, so many teams kneel on that ball. There's a minute left to go. You are up 21-7 at home. You have under a minute left. You run the ball out, and you take it to halftime. And
maybe you get in field goal range.
I mean, look, if I'm the coach and I got Nick Foles there and I'm up two touchdowns,
you kneel.
I'm probably going to be – maybe I run a couple of plays or something like that, hope somebody breaks it.
Right.
But I'm probably going to – and I like being aggressive, but to Doug Peterson's credit – all season long, look, for the majority they had Carson Wentz, but they were an aggressive team on third downs, fourth downs. I don't think any other team went for more like fourth and two this year.
They did not. All year long. And on that final, and then the final drive before the half, Foles is just whipping it down the field. I was like, what the hell is going on? Gets him into field goal range, and Jake Elliott comes through. Jake Elliott had a fantastic day, including hitting a 54-yarder. No problem.
Did you see that tight end shooting down the seam? One Alshon Jeffrey with that cut touchdown?
All of a sudden, Alshon Jeffrey is not a tight end. He's a wide receiver once again. What the hell was going on?
Alshon Jeffrey shot down the field. You had Torrey Smith shooting down the field. Zach Ertz did his thing all over. It was just a perfect, picture perfect on that first
I'll
drive.
Give a shout out
first
to,
half.
To Andy Saxton as well. All week long, he kept telling me, look, I'm looking at his fandom. He's an Eagle fan. But he was like, they're going to win the defense. And I was like, look, I agreed with that theory the prior week. But, I mean, just the whole game. And look, the one of the unsung signings of the year, and it's not for fantasy, but just for, like, NFL purposes,
yeah,
was they got LeGarrette Blount for basically nothing.
Sure.
And having him trading for Ajayi, I mean, LeGarrette Blount, if you look at, like, you know, yards after contact and everything this year, was one of the better backs. And stuff like that. And you saw what he could do yesterday. And, you know, the game plan is going to be interesting in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They can do it.
Let's not relax here, people.
No. Coaching-wise, they can do it. They can do it coaching-wise.
I agree. Let me continue on here. So at halftime, it's now 24-7. Mm-hmm. And you know Zimmer lays into them at halftime, whatever. The defense was horrible yesterday.
Yeah, it was
horrible yesterday. They come out, and the second half, let's call it what it was, they were lifeless in the second half. There was nothing. The defense never stepped up. The offense never stepped up. At no point, no minute in the second half was this a game. No minute.
No. They folded.
I thought when they were down, what was it, that touchdown that Thielen didn't catch? I thought there you had to kick the field goal and maybe go with the other. You needed 24.
Well, that's why you needed 8-8-8.
You know, yeah, but the odds of getting that. You know,
I agree.
Much, you're not going to get three 2-point conversions on the road at
Philly. I tend to agree. I agree with
at least give yourself something. Go away with some points.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully your defense can make a stop and you get a touchdown and have some sort of life there. I think they had to get something. I'm not killing the call because, look, at that point, you really needed the touchdown. Right. But,
you know, I agree with it. Thielen almost made a miraculous catch as he did all season long. I thought it was a catch on the field.
I feel robbed, though. I really do. Vikings should have been in the Super Bowl.
At home.
It should have been the Saints. It should have been the Saints because the Saints definitely would have put up a better fight than the Minnesota Vikings did. Obviously, you saw how the Vikings won last week. And that was another thing that we didn't pay enough attention to.
You brought it up last week.
Yeah, those type of games, they take too much out of you.
Yep.
So it's almost like, okay, we won, which you still got. It still was two more games left to win. And you can tell That what happened last week and leading up to this game, it took a lot out of that team.
Yeah, if you're a Viking fan, though, I mean, how despondent are you today? Like, you thought you were the team of destiny, and you were going to have the home game, the Super Bowl at home.
You know, it's interesting. Corey brought that up last week. I think you and I both now are like, yeah. And Corey's like, listen, when you celebrate it like it's your Super Bowl,
I thought that defense could overcome.
It's like the Aaron Boone year.
It's exactly like the Aaron Boone year. And Bill Simmons wrote about that. That will this just become Aaron Boone? Nobody will care about it. And you're right.
There you go.
It ultimately does not matter. So that was
shout
brutal.
Out to the Miami Bulls.
When we come back, we'll continue to talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and particularly their quarterback. Is there controversy in Philadelphia? We break it down next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
YouTube, welcome inside Studio 34. My name is Greg Sussman. To my right, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. To my left, it's Wall Street Matt Modica. There is one football game left. Talk about the Patriots and the Jaguars coming up next hour. But right now, we're in on the Eagles and the Vikings, and especially in on Nick Foles. Let me give you this line. 26 of 33 for 352 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is about 26 points in a 4-point passing league last night from Nick Foles. It was an unbelievable performance, the game of his career.
Yeah, it really was, as I stated in the previous segment, one throw of over 20 yards late yesterday, 4 completions of 35 yards. And you know what? We kind of blew it today. We all should be wearing dog masks right now. I don't think Sussman's excited about that.
Yeah. But Nick Foles, after bombing out in St. Louis, getting cut for nothing in Kansas City, comes back to Philadelphia, where he had his best success under Pat Shurmur. And everybody said, listen, let Nick... We sat here and we joked, let Nick be Nick. Oh, man. And Nick Foles... And the most ridiculous part about yesterday's game wasn't that they won in spite of Nick Foles. That's not what happened.
No, he won because of Nick
Foles. They won because of Nick Foles.
Nah, Nick Foles was a G. He balled out yesterday. He comes into it. He was in a very good spot. Very little expectations. He knows that the Dodgers were out there for him. Kind of in a game manager type situation where you just don't lose the game for them. But as the game went on, you started to see Foles get more and more comfortable, more and more comfortable. Got momentum behind him, started making those throws downfield. He was locked into his own. So shout out to Nick Foles. He went out there and got it done. He proved the doubters wrong. So fly, Eagles, fly. Nick Foles is definitely... This is a storyline we did not expect to see.
Absolutely
all
not.
Season long, we did not expect to see a situation where Nick Foles comes in and lead the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl. When Wentz tore his ACL... To a man, we thought their season was over.
Absolutely.
One and done in the playoffs. I thought it was going to be one and done anyway. One and done in the playoffs, not going to happen. Nick Foles comes in, Matt, and he just, he was fantastic.
All honesty, I mean, Carson Wentz couldn't have had a better game.
No. Sure.
If we're being, mm-hmm.
sure.
If you put it on there. And, you know, look, I mean, it could have even been better if Torrey Smith makes that catch in the beginning of the game. So, I mean, look, he came in, like you said, it was him. Nobody, he had no expectation. Nobody thought he would do anything. And he lit the world on fire yesterday.
What's crazy to me is that Nick Foles didn't dink and dunk. And Frank Reich and Doug Peterson had said the entire time since Carson Wentz got hurt, we are not changing our game plan. We trust Nick. He can run the offense we want. We are not changing anything.
Both of those guys were backup quarterbacks. A backup quarterback can knows how to prepare a backup quarterback.
I got nothing but love for Frank.
That's another underrated point that we had not brought up.
Yeah.
That backup quarterbacks know how to prepare backup quarterbacks, except Jason Garrett, who's backup quarterback.
Did you see somebody tweeted out yesterday? Dak Prescott was at home watching this game, saying, "I'm the fifth best quarterback in the NFC East."
Who's ahead of him?
I forget who it was.
I think he's making the joke.
Oh,
that
Nick
was,
Foles caught him.
It was all forced. You know, whatever.
Dak Prescott's better than Eli Manning.
Dak Prescott is definitely better than Eli Manning.
I think I'm better than Eli Manning.
Relax. Pat Shermer's going to coach him up, right?
Yeah.
So, as you said, Matt, you brought up an interesting point. Nick Foles had as good of a game as you could have ever asked Carson Wentz to have. That was your line. Mm-hmm. If Nick Foles goes out and wins a Super Bowl in 2 weeks, what happens?
No, Nick Foles gets a good job somewhere.
It's the same thing as Case Keenum. Look, even if he would have won, we saw Trent Dilfer win a Super Bowl, and it wasn't like the Ravens at the time were like, "Oh, we got to lock up Trent Dilfer for a long term deal, or he has to be our quarterback in the future." Look, it was great what Foles did. Foles, like Corey just said, he buoyed his stock. He'll have a job somewhere next year, and all that. He guaranteed that. But let's be real. Unless this injury is significant, which, you know, from what Dr. A has told us.
It's not a regular ACL tear.
Yeah. That whatever the IT band is in your hip, that don't sound
good. So it's been very clear that it's not a regular ACL tear. It's been a few weeks since he had the surgery. He's still wearing a massive brace and using a cane.
Yeah.
And at this point, they said that shouldn't be where he's at. So there's definitely concern. And I'll say this. When Nick Foles has played, if they can bring Nick Foles back, they will.
That's a bonus. And then you go into next season with Foles. See, that's where it gets tricky at.
Correct.
If you're going to have a backup quarterback next year, if you're going to have somebody start the season that's not Carson Wentz, it cannot be Nick Foles.
Because the problem is, if Nick Foles wins in 2 weeks, we all said a couple moments ago they can coach him up, and who knows what could happen. It's a Super Bowl. If Nick Foles wins in 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden Nick Foles is brought back,
then 6 weeks into the season he's 4-2, you can't bring Carson Wentz back.
Do I have a quarterback controversy?
I think they can. I think Nick Foles is the perfect guy to bring back. I think Nick Foles in the system, he knows the deal. He just wants to get paid. He wants some security here. I think, unless maybe he could be a starter somewhere. But you know what happens? Unless somebody's offered him some big-time dough, if he gets the right money to stay in this situation, I think it's a good situation. I think the Eagles kind of need him to come back next year.
But then it makes it very difficult for him to step aside when Wentz is finally healthy and comes back. It makes it very difficult, especially if that team is playing good football, and Nick Foles is getting the job done. It's going to be almost impossible to bench him.
You wonder how I look at this Eagles quarterback situation. I go back. I'll date myself back to the early 90s and the Buffalo Bills with Kelly and Reich.
Right.
You can coexist, and people know their roles. And as long as Foles is getting taken care of financially, I think he knows he's in the right situation. Would he want to go be a starter? Sure, but...
Here's my problem. I think you're right. Financially, if financially he gets paid, that's well and good. But Philadelphia has won how many Super Bowls, Corey?
Zero.
Zero. If Nick Foles goes and wins the Super Bowl, we talked about this with Case Keenum, that Case Keenum would ultimately be back. If Nick Foles goes and wins the Super Bowl and Carson Wentz is not ready for day one, you have a controversy on your hands.
You do. You have a controversy.
I'm sorry. You do.
You have a quarterback controversy development because he won the only Super Bowl. Well, he had the chance to win the only Super Bowl in Philadelphia Eagle history. Carson Wentz is... Okay, I can see if Wentz is ready to go week one, that's different.
Agreed.
If they're talking about week five, week six before we see Wentz and Foles at the start that season, then it's going to be a hard time removing Foles as the quarterback. You got to think about the locker room. You got to think about the fan base. All that has to go into account more than just Carson Wentz's feelings.
I mean, maybe I'm on the opposite side here. And I said the same thing with Case Keenum. Even if Keenum won the Super Bowl for the Vikings, I didn't see him coming back. I just didn't see him.
You have said that all year.
He wasn't the guy for their future. It's like, look, he got us there. He did great. Maybe that lands him a nice big deal somewhere else. But it's kind of like if you look at baseball and the sabermetrics, and they're like, don't sign this guy to a long-term deal. He's not worth it. You look at everything else. So, I think we've gotten to the point in sports with baseball and in football now and the advanced metrics and all that stuff. A lot of these GMs, not all, but a majority of them are of the new school thinking and all this. So they kind of see they're too smart. You're not going to see the mistakes. Certain people, there are Jeff Fisher type GMs out there that will make that mistake, but that's few and far between them.
So I get what you're saying, but I have been on the opposite end of that for a while, that I thought Case Keenum got him in the Super Bowl, they have to bring Case Keenum back. Do you think, Corey Parson, that Case Keenum goes back to Minnesota next year now?
No chance now. No chance now. It's no chance now. See, now, what's the coach? I can't, the coach. Now he's got what he want. Right. Now he's got what he want. Oh, this was horrible. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, Teddy. That was the whole thing.
This was horrible.
He never went in on Keenum.
Yep.
I agree.
And for the reasons we saw yesterday.
I hate to do it like this, yeah. You're right, man, but that's how you saw why.
And I'm not going to kill Keenum for as bad as it was yesterday.
Without tough spot.
Him, they don't get to
okay.
that spot.
Agree.
I mean,
he wasn't great last week against the Saints. He wasn't great last week against the Saints.
No, he was not.
Look, he was, and I said it along, he's just got to be good enough for them to win.
Right.
You know, you can't expect this guy to be.
Yeah. He's a giant next year.
he won't be a giant next year. He won't be a giant next year.
He's not that job goes back to Teddy Bridgewater.
You guys keep saying that. They're all free agents. So listen, every one of them.
I think they bring Teddy back.
Yeah, they'll bring Teddy back. I do believe. One thing I will say, Tony kind of said it kind of before the season about Case Keenum. He was, you know, out of the backups, he was like the closest one that you would want. Like, say, out of the 32, he was like one of the better backups. He was there. So he will have a job. I don't know if he's starting for anybody or maybe he has the ability to compete with the landscape of quarterbacking in the NFL. But he has secured himself a payday for next year. I don't care how big
it is. It was cool to see Case Keenum, Nick Foles embrace after the game. Obviously, teammates of the Rams consider themselves good friends. And, you know, Case Keenum basically told Nick Foles, nobody deserves this more than you. Congratulations. You saw Pat Shurmur confront Nick Foles. Congratulations, man. You go win this now. A lot of love for Nick Foles for what he did yesterday.
Yeah, but you know who is a chump? Mike Zimmer.
Why?
He didn't talk after the game.
How did a coach not talk after the game?
Huh?
He didn't. What?
I don't know if he went to the podium, but when he was approached by Fox, he told a Fox lady that he did not want to speak. That he did not do.
As long as he went to the podium, though.
But for you to tell the lady, you know, they always do the interview outside the locker room with the losing coach.
Yes,
he didn't do that.
That's the one he didn't do.
That's the one he didn't do. To me, like that's a bad look. That's a bad look to me.
I mean,
that's a bad look.
I go back to Dan Quinn last year in the Super Bowl. Dan Quinn did it outside the locker room. He blew a 28-3 game.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did it.
So that's to me, Mike Zimmer could never be the head coach of my team because of that.
It's a bad look.
That's terrible.
I'll take Zimmer, though.
I'll also say this, and you brought up a point about what Case Keenum needed to do. All we had said, that for Eagles to have any chance, they needed to rely on the defense and have Nick Foles not screw it up. Obviously, more than that happened. Nick Foles went and won the game. That's what Minnesota needed to happen. As much as we can kill Case Keenum today, you have to kill the defense, who did not step up at all yesterday. The roads were wide open.
The defense did not give them a chance.
Yes.
They had, you know, even with that pick six interception.
Yes.
This defense, to me, was, you know, one of the best in the league, if not the best. As an overall unit,
the Vikings were not ready to play a football game.
They were not.
Yeah, no.
They were not ready to play a football game. The Vikings already won the championship last week.
When the Eagles returned that, the Vikings defense had to step up and say, "We got you back." And that didn't happen.
No, it did not. Well, we appreciate your time. We'll be back a little bit later on. When we come back here on the radio, the King joins me as we talk to him. We'll talk to baseball. Matt coming up in a little bit as well. We'll get the Patriots and Jaguars next hour. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
And then remember, if you're thinking of playing DFS, Fantasy Factors is a perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter. Sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Obviously, with the NFL done, you now have NBA and NHL free rolls over at Fantasy Factor. At this time, we want to make sure you're listening because it's the time of the morning where we talk to the king. He is the FSWA Hall of Famer, and he hosts Fantasy Sports Today from 6 to 7 a.m. each and every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, as well as the Fantasy News Desk at 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. He is the king. He is Scott Engel. What's up, Scotty?
Good morning, and very happy for some of my Eagle fan friends this morning. They should take some time to revel in it. Our weekend host, Kevin Walsh, is a big Eagles fan. Our friend down at the Bell Desk in Marriott Renaissance, Guy Jones, is a huge Eagles fan. So is my cousin. So I feel happy for all of those guys this morning.
You are something, Scotty. Oh, I feel happy for everyone I could have ever run into that's an Eagles fan.
Look, I'm not to say everybody I ever ran into. I've met some Eagles fans who are real jerks.
Yeah, for sure. Most of them.
Conversation on Twitter, it's not just the reputation is earned, but there are fans who are just really good people, like Guy and Kevin and my cousin, and I'm happy for those people because I've been there in recent years. I know what it feels like, and it's something special.
Yeah, it is something special, and it's more special for an Eagles fan because they stink as a franchise. They've obviously never won a Super Bowl, and here they are. They're there for the first time in quite a long time. They'll get another shot at the Patriots.
Yeah, they will, but you know what? You got 2 weeks. I would think is, you worry about the Patriots a few days from now, from this morning. You revel in it. You buy yourself an NFC championship hat. You have a good time because, look, it's not the ultimate accomplishment, but it is a significant accomplishment, very significant.
Yeah, obviously it's extremely significant. They make the Super Bowl. And you know what's crazy thinking about it, Scotty? The last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl was 2004. That was Donovan McNabb. It was Terrell Owens. It was Andy Reid. It was Freddie freaking Mitchell, right? Like, this was the team. Yeah. And they faced against Brady and Belichick. And 14 years later, Brady and Belichick are still there! Brady and Belichick are still there! And the Eagles are like 7 quarterbacks later, 2 head coaches later, a billion wide receivers later. Terrell Owens, eligible for the Hall of Fame, probably should get in it. And that's the difference between these two organizations. It's remarkable what the Patriots have done.
It is. I think the Steelers are the greatest franchise of all time in the NFL, but the Patriots have had like the most unbelievable dynasty to stay where they are for a good 20-year run or so, whatever it is, and stay at the top and play in 10 Super Bowls, in the last 2 decades. It's just amazing where you have things like the teams of sport. I would probably say the greatest franchises that I've ever seen in my lifetime for a run are probably. I would say the Patriots, the 90s Bulls, and the 90s Yankees.
Yeah, what those three teams have done are absolutely just remarkable in their length of stability. It was cool yesterday, Scott, and we're talking about this coming up next hour on Roto Experts, but just how exuberant the Patriots were after yesterday's victory.
They were, because, and the Twitterverse is so silly. At 14-3. Oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. What's it going to be like for Blake Bortles playing Super Bowl? Patience, people. The Patriots came back in Super Bowl 49, and obviously what they did last year. People will bitch and complain about the refs all they want, but usually when you're bitching and complaining about the refs, that's because either A, you lost the game, or B, you hate the team that won the game, or both. The Jaguars, they didn't get a stop when they needed it. They didn't make plays when they needed it in the second half. The Jaguars, I still think, are a quarterback away from, having a ring.
Hey, listen, it wasn't Blake's fault yesterday.
No, I think you got to put some on him.
Sure.
They had 2 opportunities to engineer game-winning drives, and he didn't deliver.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. He missed some throws that he needed to have.
He played a nice first half, but when they needed him the most, he couldn't deliver.
Yeah, he's you're right.
Although
about that.
You have to give a great credit for Stephen Gilmore for like one of the greatest plays you'll ever see.
Yeah, Stephon Gilmore made just a spectacular play. Well, again, we'll talk about Patriots and Jaguars coming up next hour. Sticking with the Vikings and the Eagles, Scotty, very interesting free agent on the market next year, or this year, and just 2 months from now, it's going to be Jerick McKinnon. He led this team in rushing, 10 carries for 40 yards, and he caught 11 passes yesterday for 86 yards. Jerick McKinnon always finds himself in fantasy relevant, right? Like, he always gets himself into a fantasy relevant position, whether it's an injury to Adrian Peterson, an injury to Dalvin Cook. At some point, we all have to pick up and we all have to own Jerick McKinnon. Very interesting name on the free agent market.
I think so. Unrestricted free agent Dalvin Cook's going to be back.
Yep.
Latavius Murray's still under contract.
Yep.
I've talked a lot about upcoming free agents in fantasy sports today, this morning, which you can listen to on demand, and what's the outlook for these guys for next year. And McKinnon's, I think he's going to have a chance to start somewhere else because we've seen flashes of it. He needs to end up in the right scheme, and I think he'll challenge for a starting running back job somewhere. And with Philadelphia, it's interesting, too, because LeGarrette Blount's going to be a free agent, and that'll give Jay Ajayi the chance to take over the backfield for good with Corey Clement as his complement.
Absolutely. Jay Ajayi yesterday, 18 carries for 73 yards. LeGarrette Blount just carried the ball 6 times, 21 yards. Obviously forced himself into the end zone because that's what he did. Scott, I want to get your opinion on this. What did you think of them having Nate Sudfeld come down and make the final three kneels?
What?
I don't know. I mean,
you know what? To be honest with you,
yeah,
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
But you know, now that I know about this, you know, that's, you know, I guess it's something cool for them to do for one of their teammates. You know, it's I don't have any problem with it.
I thought it was just interesting. Like Nick Foles, like it's you always want that opportunity to just like be on the field, just like pounding your chest and you know, pumping your fists up. I thought it was interesting they put Nick Foles out there.
I think it was okay with Foles.
Yeah, of course.
And if it's okay with him, I don't think anybody else should really necessarily comment on it.
So, you know, it's funny, Scotty. I don't think anybody saw Nick Foles going to the Super Bowl this year. Nick frickin' Foles.
No, I certainly did not. I was wrong on that. But with Case Keenum, we saw the good and the bad, the worst of him in the playoffs. You know, that was the Case Keenum that scared me. Granted, he didn't get enough protection, but when they got behind him, he had no prayer of bringing him back.
No, he did not. And unfortunately, and I said, we were just talking about this, unfortunately, the defense just did not step up in any way yesterday.
Most of the team didn't show up. The defense was getting totally killed on out and up routes. They had blown coverages. It's just like once that interception happened, they were done. It was just like it was a storm. It was an avalanche. And there was no way that they. So this team, look, they're close. I think they have a winning formula, but they were out coached yesterday.
They were. Doug Peterson and Frank Reich. Completely demolished their coaching yesterday. Frank Reich, who is well known, game plans every game for Philadelphia. Doug Peterson then calls the calls based off Frank Reich's game plan, and he's just done a tremendous job over the last 2 weeks. Two games at home in Philadelphia where they were underdogs, and now they travel to Minnesota as underdogs once again to face the Patriots.
Yes, they do, and Eagle Nation, very, very happy. But you know what the interesting angle is on this, though? It's like Corey said, he doesn't watch the game. Like, maybe you ask the average fan, like, who are they rooting for? Because you don't want to see Brady win again, but there are a lot of people that don't want to see Eagle fans get a win either.
Well, I think really, you know, Corey and I are the perfect people to ask, right? Like, a team in the NFC East, and you have the Patriots. And for me, it's a no-brainer, Scotty. I'm rooting for the Patriots. I'm rooting for the Patriots, without question. Well, the Patriots don't bother me. They really don't. And I was talking to some people I was with yesterday, and that's Jet fans. And I asked them who they're rooting for. And they go, obviously, honestly, we're going to just root over whoever we bet, which, makes sense. But they go, I'm going to root for the Patriots. Like, he goes, I'm immune to it. They win every year, so I don't even care if the Patriots win anymore. It means nothing to me. And that's the point we've gotten to.
Yeah, we've gotten numb to the Patriots.
Exactly. Like, I'm exactly.
Not gonna, I congratulate all the Eagles fans. Like, I'm not going to congratulate any Patriot fans. They, you know, it's expected at this point. As far as rooting for anybody, though, it's like I didn't root for anybody yesterday. I'll just, you know, I was glad. I really enjoyed the first game. I really, really did. And I'm hoping the Super Bowl's like that. I'm not going to root for either side, but, you know, I want to see a good game. And I did with the AFC game, and I was disappointed with the NFC game.
Yeah, I thought the AFC game was awesome, of course, yesterday. Not so much the NFC game, which really, you know, after like the first drive, it was never a game after that.
No, it wasn't. You know, I said that. It's, you know, this is a Case Keenum that scared the heck out of the Vikings and scared the heck out of me. I give him a ton of credit. Nothing's in black or white. I give him a ton of credit for a fine regular season and that big throw against New Orleans, but you know, can he win a Super Bowl with this guy? Right now, I don't know, but look, you know, the guy made a ton of strides,
yeah.
You know, maybe he can continue to improve. I can't write him totally off because nobody expected this jump from last year to this year either.
No, certainly not. So yeah. We'll see.
And the biggest thing about Foles is everybody was criticizing about how he can't throw the deep ball, and that's exactly what he won with yesterday.
Absolutely. You're 1,000% right, Scott. There was no dinking and dunking. It was just throwing the deep ball repeatedly and connecting with Alshon Jeffrey and connecting with Torrey Smith. No question about it, Scotty. That was fun. We'll do it again tomorrow, my friend. How's that?
Okay.
Awesome. When we come back, let's pause some football talk. Let's get into baseball with Matt Modica. We'll do it here on the Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
On Roto Experts, I want to pause the football, get to baseball for 1 second. We'll get back to football. We'll wrap up the Vikings and the Eagles, and we'll get into Jags Philadelphia here. Of course, in our number two, or I said Jags Patriots, not Jags Philadelphia. I want to get to baseball with Matt. Frank and I, obviously, as you heard last week on the program, been drafting our first team. We are now in round.
Oh, that's right.
22. We're on 22.
Beat the BFF league.
Yeah, it got to the point where, you know, even though I'm getting emails on it's our pick, and that's fine, frankly texts me, we're up! I'm like, all right, dude, like, I got it.
Slow draft etiquette.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
Please. Okay, Matt, one of our, I think it's our SP4 on this team, maybe SP5 on this team. One, two, three. Our SP5 on this team is Jameson Taillon. And Jameson Taillon was a name that I think it really falls into my cool name theory, that people want guys that have cool names. And that's what Jameson Taillon is. Like, oh, Jameson, cool name. So you want him. Former top prospect, obviously, comes up. And now, for all intents and purposes, he's the ace of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Or, you know, the hope to be ace of the Pittsburgh Pirates with Gerrit Cole in Houston. I was diving into his numbers on Fangraphs before we picked him, though. And I was like, this guy's not very good. And I looked into it, and Frank's like, listen, he had a very rough year last year, of course, with his health, and he came back, and he pitched, and there's a lot going on up here in his head, that why can't he turn it around in 2018? Are you in on Jameson Taillon?
Yeah, no, I do like him. I don't own any shares yet, but it's more of what I needed at that point in drafts. And if he's your 4 or 5, I think that's excellent. Look, the guy came back from testicular cancer.
Yeah.
If I could say that correctly. Everybody was really excited about this kid last season entering the 2017 drafts. And look, is he going to be that supreme strikeout guy? No, that's not his game. But I do think this kid has has talent, and I do think that there is more better to come. When he came back from that diagnosis, which I didn't even think he was coming back last year.
Yeah.
He had like four disaster starts in that second half or from July on. I like the kid. Look, he's not going to be a foundation piece, but if he's in the back of your rotation, I think he could do a lot worse. He's currently going to like the 13th round of NFBC drafts in 15 teamers. I think his ADP is 194. So I'll sign off on that all day.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you look at the numbers, it's not exactly enlightening for him. I think we kind of just, I'm still waiting.
I'll look at last year, a couple of guys like Madison Bumgarner.
Yes.
Look, I'm going to give him a mulligan.
Agree.
I think there maybe some concerns you can have with Bumgarner, but this was a non-baseball injury. I think he rushed back because he was embarrassed. And I don't think he was the pitcher he was in the past. And with Tyon, for him to even come back last year, that was a credit to this kid. This kid, you know, we've been waiting on him. He had the Tommy John.
Yeah.
He came back from it. So this is a kid that definitely has moxie, whatever word you want to use. And he was diagnosed with cancer. That didn't stop him. And, you know, maybe he should have taken some more time. That's one thing I'll look at. Maybe he should have taken some more time. And he's never going to be, an elite pitcher. That's what you drafted him for. But I think he can be a good pitcher. Yes, that I do.
In 2016, Tyon started 18 games, went 5-4. The ERA was, solid 3.38. And you look at XFIP Matt, that was 3.43, 3.71. That's why people thought he could be good last year. And the crazy thing about that was the home run to fly ball ratio was unlike anything I've ever seen. It was 15%. I was like, holy crap. So he had to get better last year. And as Matt said, even though he pitched more innings last year, 30 more, give or take, walks were up a little bit, strikeouts were way down, ERA way up, but the FIP and XFIP also down. So given the testicular cancer, given that the BABIP was way higher than his career high, there are those kind of reasons like, okay, maybe he wasn't that bad.
Yeah, no, he's almost dominant against righties. He has to improve his life.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our thoughts for now on the Eagles and the Vikings. We're going to get into Patriots-Jaguars. 1 hour down, 2 more to go. It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.